All right. Hello and welcome to the Sporting Citadel podcast. I am Warren Lent. I am here with my good friend, Alex Klein. Alex, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Warren. How are you?
Doing all right. Alex, just so that everyone that's listening to this can know where to find you and know where to get your work all about college basketball and college basketball recruiting, where can they get to you?
Well, right now, I'm big on Twitter. You can follow me, twitter.com/therecruitscoop. And then I have my own site, therecruitscoop.com, which, you know, I tend to update with video interviews and updates, whether it be scholarship offers, visits, college commitment. I do some work on the side with Rivals.com, some of their team sites around the tri-state area in New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, places like that. And then, obviously, on the side, I also do work for Adam Zagoria with Zagsblog, who helped me get into a good position with the college recruiting game.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, if you haven't seen Alex's work yet, definitely check it out all over the place. As you can see, he's working with Rivals. He and I worked on eagleaction.com for a little bit. That's the Boston College Rivals site and some great stuff. But Alex, when it comes to college basketball recruiting, what makes it exciting for you? What makes it so interesting that you cover it so well?
No, I appreciate that. It's an interesting game because outside of, you know, basketball and the game going on, there's such a business behind it with players, you know, obviously agents, coaches, marketing, mentors, stuff like that. You know, you have a kid who some people have never even heard of, and once he's good at basketball and he's going to a certain height, tons of college coaches will find out about him after a big performance or through a friend. And not only will they call him, they'll come to his games, they'll see him. And, you know, it's literally like a war to recruit a kid, you know, someone of, let's say, Austin Rivers caliber, who is, you know, he's playing in Florida, obviously, a lot of good teams down there recruiting him. Then you have other teams come out of nowhere. But, you know, you see a guy, he's committed to one school, then he gets a different look, he's not sure anymore, he decommits, then another school picks him up. It's just amazing how it's not even a game anymore. I say it's always a 50% game, 50% business.
Yeah, and that's the beautiful thing about recruiting. You know, a lot of these people love the professional game, but they don't realize that one of these times, back in the day, that kid was recruited, and the whole story of his recruitment could change the way he plays in college and in the professional leagues where he goes. And I mean, that's what always interested me in college basketball recruiting and football recruiting, is just, like you said, the war. I mean, it's amazing, all legal, but what the lengths some college coaches would go to just land the recruit that could change the entire foundation of their team. It's really a great thing, and I love it. But you mentioned Austin Rivers. We'll get right into the meat of it here. Austin Rivers, consensus number one all over the place. Alex, what makes Austin Rivers so good?
Well, obviously, you have to start off with Austin's shooting ability. His ability, he shoots with such amazing range, you know, whether it's from the three-point line, he has a great jumper, he attacks the rim. You know, he does it all scoring-wise. So that makes him, obviously, outside of the number one player in the country, the best shooting guard available, because he can score in a bunch of different ways. He's a game-changer, honestly, because he can also make plays. He has a lot of talent around him with Woodger Park High School. A lot of talent there. You know, he can dish the ball, too. In a way, he's a combo guard. He's more of a scoring guard. But he does a lot of things well that will really help Duke next year when he comes in with Quinn Cook, among other players. You know, there's not much to say that's bad about his game. I mean, sure, can he improve on defense? Yeah, a little, but for the most part, he's a really good all-around player with, obviously, the main thing about his game, he can really score the ball in a bunch of different ways.
Yeah, and obviously, if people don't know, he's the son of Doc Rivers, the Boston Celtics coach, and his brother, Jeremiah, was another very good player that first went to Georgetown. I remember seeing him in the NCAA tournament a few years back as a freshman. Then he transferred to Indiana, and he's doing pretty well there. He's a senior now, and he's doing all right. But to get Austin Rivers to this point, where he has a signed letter of intent to Duke, going back to the battle of recruiting, so many teams were after him. What, in your mind, what really came down, what really made Duke the favorite? I mean, obviously, all you could say is that they're Duke. But besides that, what made them better than, say, Kansas or North Carolina for Austin Rivers?
I think the main reason that Duke is Duke is because of Coach Mike Krzyzewski. I mean, Coach K has been getting this done for years and years. So obviously, you know, he has a reputation, a great personality. Helping out coaching the USA team with an Olympic gold medal, if he's on his back, obviously makes him, you know, really credentialed to, you know, help a player get to the NBA. And he's done that before with tons of players. You know, you look at the Duke team and all the players on there, and they're, you know, high caliber, really good guys. You know, he never really has problems with players. Look at a guy like Nolan Smith, who lost his father when he was a young guy, turned out, you know, struggled in his early years at Duke, and now he's come on as one of the top players in the country. I remember interviewing Kyrie Irving in person last year, asked him, you know, for the millionth time, why Duke? You know, why would you choose Duke? Obviously, besides the fans, because they showed him a lot of love, but Coach K. Coach K, you know, he's been great, and I think Coach K played a great role in Austin Rivers' recruitment. You know, came by, saw a bunch of games. You know, he's a good person, and he's a great recruiter. He's a great coach. He's not just one, you know, he's both. He's the full package from a coach, and that makes him a special guy.
Yeah, and I mean, going back to when many people were yelling and screaming that the apocalypse was coming and that Duke was headed down the tube when they lost in the first round of the NCAA tournament a few years back, back when Singler was still a freshman. And now Mike Krzyzewski has really worked his plan to perfection. He keeps reloading. There's no more rebuilding anymore. I don't think I can see any more rebuilding coming out of Duke. I think it's just all about the reloading factor because, as you mentioned, Kyrie Irving, who you talked to, I mean, all these guys that are coming in, Rivers and so many others, they're just reloading. They keep getting better and better. And, I mean, just to have the senior leadership and then the freshman factor that we see time and time again in college basketball is really making Duke a perennial favorite to win the NCAA tournament.
I agree with you totally, and the fact that Kyrie Irving has been out for a few weeks now, it's just amazing that, you know, they haven't lost focus, they're still on pace. They're a little struggle last Sunday against Maryland, but, you know, the Terps are a good team, well coached by Gary Williams, but, you know, Duke is doing very well right now, and as of now, I don't know if we can stop them in the ACC. You know, there are a lot of challenges come tournament time, but it'll take it one game at a time.
Yeah, absolutely. The ACC, now we'll switch to them just to talk a little bit about just college basketball in general. The ACC is a little bit down this year. I think that's the general consensus. Maryland was supposed to be the second best team. I still think they have the ability to be the second best team, but they lost their first ACC game to Boston College. Nothing on Boston College, believe me, but Maryland was supposed to win that game. Is it really up to Duke to carry the torch for the ACC once again, or do you think that there are some teams that still haven't sprouted quite yet, and that could make their way to being one of the cream of the crop in the ACC and in the country?
Well, it seems like a trend every year, but I feel like North Carolina has a chance to be good. I mean, coming in, they had so much hype. Obviously, Harrison Barnes, the number one recruit from 2010, was coming in, and he's been a bit of a disappointment so far, to be honest. You know, they gave him some high expectations, putting him as a preseason All-American. But I think North Carolina has the talent. Eventually, once they kind of sprout together and come together, I think they can make some noise eventually. But at this point, I don't see anyone stopping Duke. Obviously, Maryland has a good squad, but they're still a year or two away from being a very good team. Honestly, I think Duke could be the national champions, but I don't really see anyone challenging them in the ACC.
Yeah, the ACC is a little bit messed up right now because we see Wake Forest. They lost to Presbyterian, if I recall correctly. They are having a very tough time. Virginia still in transition with Tony Bennett. Clemson not doing as well, even though they still have one of the Booker brothers. These teams are all right, but they're nothing like we've seen in the past in the ACC. Now, just for a little bit of selfish talk, when we talk about Boston College, we have a team that was supposed to be, that was ranked 10th in the preseason in the ACC. We see them now at 3-0 in the ACC. They just beat North Carolina State last night. Steve Donahue has done an amazing job, it seems, besides the fact that they keep losing to Ivy League schools. Besides that, Reggie Jackson, just going to Reggie Jackson and Steve Donahue, is Reggie Jackson a serious candidate for the ACC Player of the Year?
Yeah, you could definitely blow him in there. I mean, a lot of people are a big fan of Reggie Jackson. They haven't heard of him up until now. Boston College has been a surprise this year, to be honest with you. You know, they lost Brady Heslip to transfer. And, Boston College has been really good, actually. I mean, they've had a few slip-ups here and there, but for a first-year coach with Steve Donahue, you know, a completely new style and system and everything, I'd say so far it's been a success for the Eagles. You know, I don't know if Reggie Jackson will be able to top someone at Duke for Player of the Year for the ACC, but
right.
He's definitely putting in good work, and he's making a name for himself for NBA scouts. So we'll have to see as ACC play gets deeper, but it's a good start for Boston College, and you know, this could be a look ahead at what's to come for the Eagles.
Yeah, some very good things out of Chestnut Hill, but now we get back to the national scope. Last night, Penn State beat Illinois. Hey, Alex, did you see this coming at all? Because I sure didn't.
Penn State, I mean, they've been interesting lately. Correct me if I'm wrong, didn't they knock off Michigan State by 4 recently? I think it was last weekend.
I think they did. Yes, I think you're right.
Yeah, Michigan State, you know, they've been up and down. But Penn State, you know, Coach Ed Michillis, he's on the hot seat, but he's responding well. They have some good players around. It's not a team that you would think has a lot of potential to make some noise in the Big Ten. Now, you know, obviously once they play Ohio State soon, that could be a different story. I still think Ohio State's the top team out there in the Big Ten and possibly around the country. But obviously wins over Illinois and Michigan State are going to be huge come down the time when, you know, they might need a few key wins to get in the tournament this year. That could be huge for them if they make the tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be amazing for the Penn State Nittany Lions, especially in basketball. But now when we just stay in the Big Ten for a little bit, we see Illinois. They're always a very good team. They always make a threat to win the Big Ten. Michigan State was a little bit on a downturn, but they just beat Wisconsin last night. But sticking with Ohio State landed the number 5 player in the country last year, Jared Sullinger. He's 6'8", 260 pounds when he first came out of high school. He's producing very well for the Buckeyes. How good is this guy, and what kind of ceiling does he have? Does he have the type of hype that did he have the type of hype that Greg Oden had, or is he producing the way Greg Oden did at Ohio State?
To me, Sullinger, when he came out into college, and I thought this in high school, I thought, honestly, he was the best player in the country. I mean, I'm a big Kyrie Irving fan, honestly, because of what he can do on the court. But I thought Sullinger was the most complete player. You know, he's 6'8", 260, he's a big guy. He can do things down low. He has good post moves. He can rebound like a monster. At the same time, he can, you know, dribble like a guard. He can do so much. You know, he comes from so much history in his family. His father coached him. His older brother played at Ohio State. You know, a lot of people don't realize when Jared was younger, he was, you know, a fat little kid who couldn't really do much. Amazingly as it sounds, you know, Solinger, he's putting up double doubles. I think he had a 40-point game or so, something around that, a few weeks back for the Buckeyes. I think he's a completely different player than Greg Oden. Oden was more of a defensively dominant player. Solinger's pretty good defensively too, but he also, you know, offensively, he can really bring it night in and night out, and he has a lot around him, you know. They're two different players. Obviously, Oden isn't having the best success in the NBA, and I wish him the best of luck there, injury-wise. But I think Solinger is definitely a top-five pick next year if he comes out, which he should. I think he can make a good NBA career, but right now, you know, he and some of the players around him for Ohio State, they've got a Final Four team right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, without a doubt. But when we get back to the Big East, your bread and butter, most likely the best over conference year in and year out in terms of basketball. I mean, there are a lot of teams that are playing very well. Obviously, we see Kemba Walker at UConn playing out of his mind. Who do you think in the Big East can really make the most noise? Obviously, UConn has the ability to make noise day in and day out. But really, who do you think is the favorite right now, very early, to really challenge UConn and challenge the Big East as it is?
Right now, I'd say, honestly, it's a two-team race. I don't see UConn going the full 90 yards or whatever you want to put it, because, you know, Kemba obviously is doing a great job and he's playing out of his mind right now, averaging like close to 30 points a game or whatever. But I think it's down to Pittsburgh and Villanova. If Villanova's guard play can step up and do what they've been doing, and Pittsburgh's guard play as well, you know, both teams have experienced guards who are playing really well. I think those are the two teams to beat. You know, every night it changes. You know, some nights Marquette's looking really good, some nights Louisville's looking good. Then they'll lose to, you know, a team in the CAA or whatever. But I think UConn can get far based on someone like Alex Oriaki stepping up. You know, when they were on their big winning streak to start the year, he was playing. He had a good game against Kentucky, which got them a lot of national notice when they won. But I think Pittsburgh and Villanova are the favorites. Villanova can definitely go far. You know, they don't really have that much size like a typical Jay Wright team. But look out for Moustakas Yaru. He's a sophomore, big man, around 6'8". He missed a lot of the season last year because of mononucleosis. But he's coming in. He's getting good minutes. You know, he can rebound. But both schools, I think, Pittsburgh and Villanova would be my consensus favorite in the Big East.
I like that. Villanova, obviously, constantly up there in terms of the Big East. But as we look down the Big East spectrum, we see a team like St. John's with a new coach, Steve Lavin. And, I mean, especially being in New York and having the ability to recruit the players from New York, how would you say that Steve Lavin has done in terms of recruiting in New York and in general thus far? And do you really think, do you believe in Steve Lavin and in his ability to bring this St. John program back to prominence after so many years of disappointment?
I think we're going to find out tonight, Juan. They have a sold-out crowd at Madison Square Garden tonight. They're going to play Syracuse, who's currently undefeated and has knocked off some great teams, and Syracuse is up there as one of the other, you know, front runners for the Big East. I forgot to mention them, but, you know, no disrespect to them. They're a great squad. You know, we're going to find out a lot tonight. But recruiting-wise, Steve Lavin is up there with the Calipari's and the Krzyzewski's of the world. you know, not only is he landing guys in state, in, you know, New York, which is, you know, has a lot of talent, but he's going all over. He's going to California, to Texas, to Michigan, all over. He's finding big men, point guards, shooting guards, forwards, tons and tons of forwards. You know, Amir Garrett from Finley Prep will be there. Norvell Powell, top center from California, will be there. Maurice Harkless in New York, great forward who's come on as a top 100 prospect. You know, you have to rave about it. He's even going into the junior college rankings. Picked up Miradine Lindsey, who used to be a star out of Philadelphia. Now he's at a JUCO school in Oklahoma, and he's tearing it up. Next year, I think St. John's can really make a big run in the Big East. Right now they're doing pretty well for a team that wasn't considered to be that great. I think they're doing pretty well. I mean, they have a lot of senior leadership. It's mainly seniors. I think they have about 9 or so. And even their freshman, Dwayne Pulley from California, who was Lavin's first recruit, he's come in. He's gotten good time off the bench. They're all playing pretty well, but I think we'll find out tonight if they have a real challenge against Syracuse. They've already beaten Georgetown this year, and they've shocked a few other teams. So we'll see. Coming week should be pretty big for St. John's.
Yeah, St. John's definitely on the up and up when it comes to recruiting and just overall play. Steve Lavin has rejuvenated his career as well as the program, and I definitely like him to keep building that program up and finally make it, as I said before, the power that it really should be. But just to finish up here in the last couple minutes, Alex, we'll talk about the top 10 player that still has yet to commit to a team quite yet, DeAndre Daniels. With DeAndre Daniels, obviously he's from Bradenton, California. He's an absolutely amazing athlete, 6'8", 180 pounds. He can do pretty much everything. Right now, who is it down to, and really where do you see him going when it's all said and done?
Well, originally, you know, he was going to Texas, backed off. And if you want a top four, it would be Kentucky, Oregon, Texas, and Kansas. Recently, since he's been stalling a little, Kentucky backed off. Oregon's basically out of play. Down to Texas and Kansas. He's going to wind up at Kansas. I have a few close sources for him. Basically, a done deal to Kansas. You know, nothing's official yet, and sure, anything could happen. But an announcement should come sometime this week. But nothing official there, but Kansas should be the favorite.
Very interesting. And how good does that make Kansas? Because obviously there are some great things happening in Kansas, but there are a few issues in terms of the NCAA calling many people ineligible. I mean, what's going on there, and how good can Kansas be this year, and how good can they be with a player like DeAndre Daniels in the future?
Well, Daniels, you know, as of now, he's good. That Kansas recruiting class, although it's off to a slow start, they only have Najee Assad from the Boston area so far. You know, he's a talented point guard not many people know about outside of that area. After they land Daniels, it's pretty likely that they land Ben McLemore from Missouri. He's a shooting guard, attends Oak Hill right now. He's down from Missouri and Kansas. They've been pretty adamant about that he wants to go to Kansas over Missouri. His parents are still kind of shaky about it, you know, because they want him to stay local. But Kansas should land a nice trio for their 2011 class. As for right now, you know, Kansas had a scare against Michigan on Sunday, but they're a good team, and they were a good team without Josh Selby. They're a great team with him. He can do a lot. Obviously, with his first game, he scored 21, had the game-winning shot against USC. They can also be a Final Four team. I think depends a lot on the Morris twins, Marquise and Marcus. They've lost a lot in the past years, you know, Cole Aldridge, Mario Chalmers, guys like that. But Bill Self keeps bringing in new guys, and they look pretty good. It's going to be a challenge in the Big 12 this year. Baylor is obviously making a good run. Texas is a good team. Even Iowa State. Iowa State, I think, I checked, they're 12-3 now. A lot of good competition, but I think Kansas is the favorite to win the Big 12 and possibly end up in the Elite Eight or Final Four.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Kansas is just one of those teams you can't count out until they're officially out. Obviously, Northern Iowa sprung up against them in the NCAA tournament last year, but few saw that happening. Very few. But just two more questions here, Alex. The last one's pretty easy, but let's go over the biggest story that we've seen in a long time in terms of NCAA recruitment and just Kentucky basketball in general. Inez Kanter, one of the best players that we've seen in a very long time. He's an amazing athlete. Stone Ridge Prep. He came to Kentucky to be ruled ineligible. They appealed, and they were hoping for the appeal to happen. He's officially been ruled ineligible this entire season. Just so that people fully understand what really happened, what made the NCAA say he's ineligible, and what kind of difference does this make for Kanter as a player and Kentucky as a team this year?
Well, it impacts a lot of people. It impacts Kanter in a little way, but mainly the main reason was Kanter, they believe that when he was in Turkey, his homeland, he was paid to play professionally for the team, and obviously that violates the NCAA and what they stand for. His father and he have never really talked about it, and they said they haven't taken any money whatsoever, in a way like the Cam Newton story at Auburn. But, we'll never be able to tell what is the truth or not. And even if he did take money, you know, to play professionally in Turkey, I don't really see how that has to relate to, you know, college. You know, he's not going to be there very long anyway, even if he was playing. But the biggest impact this has is on Kentucky. You know, they're losing a really good big man who they've needed. They need guys to rebound. Obviously, Josh Harrelson, who's been a bit of under the radar, he's stepped up recently and he's gotten a lot better. He's getting more playing time, but you know, that's not going to get Kentucky very far this year. I don't see them making the Elite Eight. But Kanter, it doesn't really impact him. It, you know, some scouts aren't going to be able to see him now with the NBA. But he should be one and done, even though he didn't play. He should be a top five pick. He's a power forward. He's 6'10", about really talented. What people have seen from him, he can be the next big thing internationally and at the NBA level. So it doesn't impact him. It just hurts Kentucky, really.
Yeah, definitely. Kentucky is definitely feeling the effects of this in a pretty tough SEC. Obviously, Tennessee doesn't have their coach for the first few SEC games. Bruce Pearl with all that controversy going on. But last question here, Alex, and then we'll let you go. Who do you have right now, so early, yet so necessary, who do you have winning the NCAA tournament?
That's a tough one, but right now, Warren, I would say I have Duke.
Yeah.
And I'd say I have Duke beating Ohio State in the final. And a lot of it depends on whether Kyrie Irving comes back or not. If he doesn't, I still think they can make a run, and I still think they can win it all. But Kyrie coming back will definitely help them. It could go the other way, though. I mean, Ohio State is very talented, you know, two great freshmen, Songer and Deshaun Thomas, with a lot of great role players around them. You know, you got to take a coin flip. I'd go for either one at this point, but I'll go with Duke for now, and we'll see what happens with Kyrie.
Yeah, we'll see what keeps going on in the ever-changing world of college basketball. Alex, thank you very much for joining us today, and hope to talk to you soon. Guys, follow Alex on Twitter at The Recruit Scoop, and check out everything he's doing right now. Alex, thanks again.
All I appreciate it, Warren. Have a good day and enjoy the snow.
All right, awesome. Thank you. You too.